With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. As always, joining me is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, the main takeaway from today's matches was, oh man, do we hate Southampton a whole lot.
Yeah, they are fantasy abyss.
Garbage?
Is what they are. They are the Middlesbrough of this past week, is what just happened. Middlesbrough of week 34 is the Southampton of week 37. But at least they gave you one clean sheet in the first game. But offensively, they are just a poo fest. Zero goals in three games now. Yep. for the Saints. I think it's 14 shots on goal in those three games. That is not conducive for the official game usefulness at all.
Yeah, so, you know my sneaky James Ward-Prowse play?
Yeah, awful.
3 points. The same as Hazard in one match.
Yeah, my sneaky good play last week did well. So,
was it Sanchez?
No, it was all Brighton.
Oh, yeah. Not a bad shout. So, yeah, lovely assist. And as we mentioned at the time, one of the best crossers of the ball in the Premier League. So when he's playing, there is definitely value there. I fortunately lucked out on this week. I did use my triple captain on Sanchez, which could have gone worse. Could have gone better.
36? What did you get, 30-something?
42 with bonuses.
42, there you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it was triple three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll take that. And my horrible daily blint call led to me getting Stevens in, who kept the one clean sheet, got me the bonuses, and then also the 2 minutes this week. So he got me 8. But my bench, man, coming into today, my bench was Caballero with 6, King with 5, and Stevens with 8, all of whom would have been my second highest score heading into the end of the week.
It was a
bad week. The average points were 46 this week, ended up on 75. I assume your Aguero play went better than this, on the triple captain?
No, my Aguero, I think he only netted one goal in that the double 27. He only got 27 points, so I don't think it was even. Yeah, it wasn't anything to write home about. Whatever he scored in week 27 is what it was, but I don't think it was as much as Sanchez just scored.
Dang. Fair enough.
I was in a similar boat with you. I made a gut call on an Arsenal defender, and he never even played. But it doesn't matter. I got Maya Yoshida in as his replacement. So
same thing.
It evened out, it doesn't. But week 36 is in the past. Southampton and Arsenal are now off the double game slate for 36. Now they're back on the slate for 37, which is what we are here to talk about. Is this the Mount Everest of the official game season? The final two games?
Oh, this is the climax. Next week is going to be dog trash, but this week is going to be insane. As we just mentioned on our DFS show, starting this Friday, there is not a day without Premier League matches until next Friday.
That's awesome. And then all the games are on Saturday at 10 a.m.
Shouldn't they be on Sunday?
The following. Whatever day they are. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm pretty sure they're on Sundays. Yeah, Sunday, May 21st is the last day.
Yeah. You know what I meant. That's everybody at home knows what I meant.
Yeah. But remember, last year, both of us were counting on that last week. And this year, I think we've both learned to not do that.
I mean, I'll have my all out attack chip.
Yeah, so. I don't think I'm going to use it this year.
Well, you might as well use it. I mean, what's the difference?
Because I have better defenders than other positions.
Okay, that's your prerogative, Kevin. Well, we can get into that next week. Why you think it is better? So tune in next week as Kevin decides if AOA.
I'm just saying that over the last two seasons, and I don't think you'd disagree because it was your point last season. Over the last two seasons, defenders have been more consistent just across the board. Once you figure out who the good defenses are, which usually takes about 10 weeks or so, they just tend to get you more points than Well, consistently at least. But
yeah, finding a good defender is like buying Wonder Bread. You know, trying to find and hit on a midfielder or a forward that hits on a week is like buying like multigrain, like bread.
I was going to say it's like, I don't know if your grocery store has this, but you know the meat that's like a day from expiring?
Oh, yeah.
You can buy like steaks and stuff.
Buy one, get one.
It feels like that. You're really gambling because the upside is a super delicious steak that you got for crazy cheap. And the downside is they misjudged it by a day and it's already garbage. But
and you maybe have salmonella.
Oh, yeah. Botulism. There might be worms crawling out of you. But enough about that. Rob, I want to lead in with price changes because there's a lot of permutations that have taken place regarding how people should address this week. I personally am automatically going to take a -4, considering a -8, because, you know, if a player's playing twice versus a player that's only playing once, you're basically only paying -2. Because of their minutes played. But anyway, so yeah, I think it'd be more interesting if we start with price changes and then take that information and apply it to the rest of the things throughout the show.
That's a brilliant deduction, Kevin. And I was going to say that you know, it doesn't make it with a double game week. If you're bringing in a player that's not on a double game week, go to the shed, grab a hammer, smack yourself in the face with it. but yeah, the price changes have already come off because this week was, you know, striated out since Friday of last week, and it just ended. As we were recording this, it's just post Arsenal match, so the price changes have been in flux, and there's going to be more, and it's going to be affecting the way people bring in transfers and how much money they're going to have, because it's going to be a penny pinching type of thing, because they're going to try to maximize every ounce of fantasy potential that they can out of their dollar. So we'll jump right into the price ups. I'll start on defense. Gary Cahill, Robert Huth, Vincent Kompany, Phil Jagielka, Cedric, and Jan Vertonghen are the defensemen that have gone up so far. Three of the four are the cheapest entry basically into their team's double game week. Robert Huth, Cedric, and Vertonghen are probably, besides Ben Davis, obviously, but Jan Vertonghen is like the cheapest, most reliable, you know, stapled, nailed on, reliable Spurs defender. To me, that's just my opinion. Cedric, it doesn't make sense to me. His price is 4.9. That transfer in doesn't make any sense to me. Does it to you, Kevin? If you have Yoshida and Jack Stevens there sitting there in front of you at their current prices of 4.2, and I think my Yoshida is 4.4.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense that people are buying into the Cedric wagon right now after what we've seen from Southampton after this double game week?
It does not. And also, there's no way he plays two consecutive matches or what ends up being 3 in 7 days.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, this is one big thing I want to remind everybody at home. Unfortunately, with the official game, you know, rosters lock before we get a good idea of who's going to play and who's going to sit. So, you know, it kind of – rotation is going to be a problem for a couple of these teams. So I think Arsenal and Southampton are both two key components of those. But everybody just make heady decisions. You know, don't go last minute, but don't go way too early. Stay somewhere in the middle, and you should be fine. Also on the ups, we'll go through the midfield, Alexis Sanchez, Mesut Ozil, Eden Hazard, and a strange one, Amre Can has gone up. That one to me, I understand why people are doing it.
100%.
It's the bicycle kick and his price tag. It's basically what it is. They're trying to get a player who has fantasy ability for a 4.5 so they can get the stars into their lineup. I get it. It makes complete sense. I wouldn't go that way, but he only has one game. You know, take Mark Albrighton for 4.9. You know, that'd be the best way to go. On the forwards, Ashley Barnes has gone up. Costa and Jesus have gone up. They're probably the most obvious two in this whole write-up. And then a strange one is Gabby Deeney has gone up. No goals in 5 games. No goals for Southampton in 3. Kevin, talk me off the ledge for not wanting to shoot everyone who's bringing in Gabby Deeney currently.
A weird combination of different suicide variations. Pull you off the ledge from shooting someone. Gabby Deeney had many shots today. He is involved. He's the person stretching the defense, but he just does not. He just can't put anything on target. And I think that was the difference right after the Chelsea match where I was starting to buy in. Was because he was heavily involved, and you're like, what are you seeing in this? And I think I finally kind of come to your point where he doesn't do anything. It's very Adama Traore-esque. He keeps getting in dangerous positions, and it looks like he's going to do something, but then he doesn't. which is obviously a huge problem. I mean, I already mentioned Ward-Prowse was a massive frustration for Southampton. I mean, no goals in three should basically tell you all you need to know. Yep. Yeah, I'm just very, very disappointed with all of them, especially Gabbiadini. The fact that people saw these recent performances and were like, let me get some of that is baffling to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely batty. Drives me batty. And then also on the expected to go up tonight, because since, you know, people are speculating they're, if you need to make a move today, or if, actually if you're hearing this, it's already too late, but going to go up is De Bruyne, Ryan Bertrand, Albrighton, Pedro, Koscielny, Anichibi, Monreal, Caballero, and surprisingly another Southampton defender. People are just buying too much into the Saints with their two upcoming fixtures. Nathan Redmond, I don't get it. But those are the ups for now. There'll probably be another round of them tomorrow. That'll tell where the transfer, you know, trends are heading. So those are the ups. We'll go into the downs. There's a lot of downs because people are shifting off people who don't have a double game week. But there are some bizarre ones that I pulled out. Marcus Rashford has gone down. They do have two fixtures. I worry that United just doesn't have enough offensive potential going forward to make Rashford and his price tag in the sixes be noteworthy. Romelu Lukaku, it's pretty weird that the leading goal scorer in the Premier is going down because he doesn't have a double. Don't be stupid. Divock Origi's gone down. Liverpool is just blah, and they don't have a double. And same thing with Roberto Firmino. No double. You shouldn't be owning anybody that doesn't have a double unless you're stuck there and you used all your chips to try to make up something in your mini league. Mkhitaryan, same thing as Rashford. I don't trust United to do anything more than put one goal in. And that's even by any stretch of the imagination probably a win-win for Jose Mourinho. David Luiz has gone down, which is a surprise because I think this is just a shifting off a one Chelsea defender to maybe get another Chelsea defender in. I don't see any other reason why he wouldn't be included unless people are worried about him maybe sitting one of the two games, which is definitely a possibility because Chelsea can clinch if they win the first game. So kudos to them. Valencia, injury, no playing time. United, again, I think people are sailing on the United fantasy wagon for now or probably for the rest of the year. And then another one, West Brom do double, but Chris Brunt has gone down. But so I think it's just by attrition of fixtures for Chris Brunt. I know he has some ability for fantasy, and his price tag is middle of the road. But, you know, West Brom does not have anything that remotely looks like a good fixture this week. With they have Chelsea and City, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's awful. awful timing to be a West Brom fan or a Baggies fan. But it's Tony Pulis' system. They got to 40 points, and now they hit cruise control, and they're going way down Route 66 to the 2018 season.
Yeah, I do have a question for you. because, and we talked about this a little bit previously, just full disclosure, there are a couple of single match week strikers that I am considering bringing in just for price dump options, and I feel like this ties into the Gabbiadini thing. Have we been so frustrated by Gabbiadini that you would rather have a single match player like Rondon with his horrible fixtures with a double, or somebody like Sam Vokes with three goals in the last five, somebody a little more expensive like Benteke who has the most shots on target over the last five matches? There are other players with singles that may do more in one match than Gabbiadini does in two. So you're given two pieces of advice. One, only bring in double players. But two, Gabbiadini's awful. So is he bad enough that you're shifting out a player with two matches this week, or are you just going to try to hold on and make changes only with singles?
Well, I'm saying transfer in double players because that's where the value of the play is.
Right, but are you saying to transfer out any doubles that have been frustrating? Like a lot of people are shifting off of Hazard, who has a double. People are shifting off Gabbiadini now.
You definitely can. I have this week currently, and I'm probably going to do another one. But yeah, I mean, if you're sick of a player and their form is not, you know, conducive for your fantasy lineup, by all means, go ahead. You know, like you mentioned before, by bringing in a player with a double game week, it's only 2 points per game. So basically, all they have to do is play minutes, and you get net 0 points. So there's always that fantasy potential to do more because you're basically scrapping at zero. So that from that standpoint, sure. Do I say if you have a lot of if you have one transfer this week, you're probably not going to transfer out a double game week guy for another double game week guy. You're probably going to try to transfer anybody out on your roster that has a single week and try to upgrade your roster to a guy that has a double game week. So to answer your question, it's kind of multifaceted here. If you have multiple transfers at your disposal, sure, you can go from a double game week guy to a better double game week guy in your mind, and that'd be okay. But if you only have one transfer this week, and you don't want to take like a minus 8 or a minus 12, or you're chasing a lot of points in your mini league, and you want to, you know, make up some kind of difference, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd probably look somewhere else, take out a single guy, and try to upgrade that way. But if it runs into a fund, you know, a fundage problem, then you could probably do it to shift things around. So, I mean, I'm not completely against taking out a double game week guy if he's bad, but it's also depending on your situation with your team, transfer-wise, money situation, what you're chasing. So there's a lot of other factors that go into that than saying yes, no.
Okay, well, let's get specific then. Were you done with price downs?
Yeah,
I'm cool. Done. All right, well, let's do a little bit of either or then. Would sure. you rather have Gabbiadini or Vokes?
Gabbiadini.
Oh, okay. Would you rather have Gabbiadini or Benteke?
Who does Palace have?
Just the one match, but it's against
Hull. Hull.
Away Hull, who have the worst away defense in the league.
Oh. The problem is, I'd put it, it's the Gabbiadini and the Benteke thing. When I do my rankings this week, they're going to be very close. They're probably right next to each other. They're yeah. probably like 5 and 6 in the rankings, or 6 and 7. You know, they'll be right next to each other. And I don't rank Gabbiadini high at all this week. You know, there's probably 4 or 5 other strikers that I would definitely want to have. Obviously, they're obvious names: Jesus, Costa. You know, maybe, you know, guys of like Vardy, they'd be up there because he does have 2 fixtures. Maybe Defoe because he has 2 fixtures. But yeah, I mean. God, Palace is going to score in this game because I think Hull is, but the Hull is fighting.
But they both are.
Yeah, yeah.
Palace lose this one to Hull, they're only 1 point ahead of them.
Yeah, I think I would take Benteke there. Okay. Only because I think he scores.
Yeah, I also think that he scores in this one. And then lastly, with the most awful matchups but a very tasty price, would you rather have Gabbiadini or Rondon? Because weirdly. I think Rondon is better against better defenses mm-hmm. because they don't feel the need to lock him down individually. Mm-hmm. And he's big enough that he can contest with some of the better center backs in the league. But Chelsea finally remembered what clean sheets are, and City have as well.
Yeah. I'm going to say Gabbiadini there because Rondon is playing against 2 teams that have Chelsea in the first game have something to play for because they want to win the league. And then West Brom plays City in the second game of the week on Tuesday. You know, City is still going to be fighting for a top 4 spot. So, you know, they're playing both 2 teams that have opposite things to play for. You know, on opposite doubles. You know, Chelsea has a game that they're going to try to win the league in the first game, and then City is still going to be fighting for, you know, position when they play their second game. So yeah, I don't like West Brom at all to even score this weekend.
Yeah, harsh, but probably true. All right, so that was the beginning of this massive sheet that I have that I've made mm-hmm. of different combinations of 3 players that I can fit in for the same price. Currently in my team, well, when I wrote this down, I've now already brought in De Bruyne for Hazard because I didn't want to lose out on that penny. I previously had Gabbiadini, Hazard, and Blint. Obviously, Gabbiadini's been garbage. Blint isn't starting anymore. And Hazard has been iffy, and I don't think he plays both matches. So, it will now be a trio, and mm-hmm. we'll just work through them and see who you would rather have, because I'm sure a lot of people are in similar situations of they're trying to do something with their cheap third striker, they're probably trying to do something with one of their best midfielders, and they probably mm-hmm. need to change somebody, at least one, maybe 2 in defense, especially if you're bench boosting. Because mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people have a lot of singles still left at the back. So, Gabbiadini, Hazard, Blint doesn't exist anymore because I've already taken out Hazard. But would you rather have Vokes, De Bruyne, Vertonghen or Benteke, Silva, Vertonghen?
What was the first one again? I'm sorry.
Vokes and De Bruyne and Vertonghen mm-hmm. or Benteke, Silva and Vertonghen. So De Bruyne or Silva plus Vokes and Benteke.
I'd rather have the KDB side. I think KDB is one of the most ownable players right now, only because of what I just witnessed.
I think Silva is so sneaky, but I do agree. Would you rather have Benteke, Silva, and Vertonghen, who will definitely play both, or Benteke, Silva, and Azpilicueta, who will probably play both?
I'd go with the first one, because I think Vertonghen plays both games.
Yeah, but Azpilicueta has played every match, though.
Yeah, but you know what? They're trying to get people 10 games.
Yeah.
Chelsea is trying to get people 10 games in the back. So.
But even when they move things around, they like move him to right back or left back.
Yeah, he's probably going to play both fixtures, but you know,
and he has tasty fixtures too. What is it, Watford and West?
Watford,
Brom?
West Brom and Watford.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. I mean, but you know, that's a tough one, Kevin.
It is.
That's a tough. You know what? I'm gonna side with the, you know, is Conte going to change his lineup just because they won the championship? Probably.
Yeah.
I could see them starting with it being Chelsea's. I believe it's Chelsea's last home game.
Mm. Right? I thought that was 38.
Oh, you're right. All right, so that eliminates the John Terry starting, which I was just gonna say. But I could definitely see somebody, you know, like maybe like an Ake starting and getting a run, maybe a Zuma getting a run. But so, it could be so at Cahill's expense.
I guess what the question becomes is: would you rather have Vertonghen against United? Or Azpilicueta not playing anyone? Because that's the risk of both, right?
Yeah, I'd rather have Vertonghen playing United.
Okay. Makes sense with no Ibrahimovic, et cetera.
I don't trust United.
Fair enough. Okay, so we'll go with the Benteke, Silva, Vertonghen for there. So we'll stick with that team, Benteke, Silva, and Vertonghen, or Gabriel Jesus, Siggy with only one match, or Vertonghen.
Oof. I mean, why?
This is deciding the second best option for City, right? We've agreed KDB is the best. Yeah. So would you rather have Jesus or Silva, basically?
I'd rather have Vincent Kompany.
although no. I will say Otamendi is a sneaky option this week. But we'll get into that.
Well, it's between Otamendi and Kompany, those are the only two staples that I'll probably play. The other ones are going to change because Cliche and I think Sanya is actually going to be back now. So, which would make it interesting.
No Stones. That's why I think, because, you know, Kompany, you can't really trust that fitness. But that's why I think... Otamendi against Leicester and West Brom, both at home. Listen,
Vincent Kompany can't stay healthy, but City is a different team with him on the pitch.
True, absolutely. They've been immense since he has come back into that team.
So, ginormous.
But as far as City's second option of attack, we'll leave out defenders. Would you rather have Jesus or Silva, who was phenomenal last week?
I'd rather have Jesus.
Would you rather have... Okay, yeah. So that already trumps that. Then... these are separate because these are changing two defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have any of those? Would you rather have the pairing of Vertonghen and Holding or Azpilicueta and Holding? You're sticking with Vertonghen because he definitely plays twice.
I'll stick with Vertonghen.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, that was kind of a version of either or, and it should give you like some insight as to how we're viewing a lot of these players.
But I have some either ors as well that I prepared for you because I don't want me to hog all the knowledge and fantasy usefulness here, but I basically did one defender, one midfielder, and then one superstar. How's that?
Okay.
So we'll start on defense. Rob Holding with fixtures against Stoke and whoever that is. I can't read my friggin' whatever my writing. So Rob Holding or Jack Stevens?
Holding, but I like Stevens more as a player.
Yeah. Yeah. Southampton does have Burrow and United, so they do have an okay fixture and then maybe a question mark fixture. Yeah. But
Arsenal,
I think people
Stoke and Sunderland.
That's it, Sunderland. I can't read my own writing.
Yeah.
Bad Rob. but since we nailed on the point that De Bruyne is the best option for City from an offensive standpoint, and Jesus is probably second.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the third? Leroy Sané or Raheem Sterling?
Nope. Silva. One of those is getting rotated.
Okay.
Listen, I have the softest spot for Silva, and seeing him put in the performance he did last week just reignited my insane fire for him. I don't know which of these is going to play both matches. One of them might, but both of them won't.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, they're basically a whole dollar cheaper than David Silva.
I know.
Yeah. I'm just saying Raheem Sterling.
You're saying that I'm loco crazy, and that's fine.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm not disagreeing because I like David Silva as a player, and I think that he could do some things this week, especially with the double fixture. I think he's a sneaky ownable guy this week. With his price tag being 8.6 and his ownership only at 2.3. Somebody's definitely gonna maximize that and probably jump on it. But yeah, okay. So for the third one, if you had a gun to your head and you could only have one of these players this week, Eden Hazard Alexis Sanchez or Kevin De Bruyne?
I'm a very old-fashioned dude. We talked about this when I was actually there with you. And I very much believe in the dance with the guy that brought you. So I'm probably going with Alexis. He's been more frustrating lately, but I don't think ever in my history of playing fantasy I've had a captain pick reward me more frequently than Alexis has.
I 100% agree.
That stretch from like match week 8 to 20, like I just left it on the whole time. And what was it? He had like two or three matches over that period where he blanked. Yeah, it was incredible.
He went 16 matches where he didn't have a goal or an assist.
Yeah. It was just absolutely terrific. And unfortunately, that carries weight for me. On form, it's De Bruyne. Hazard's last. But I'm going to stick with Alexis. I know he's the most expensive. And that's why, in a weird masochistic part of me, even though I had the triple captain on him, wanted Alexis to not score today. Because that would have been the out I needed to be like, fine, I'll move on from this. Do De Bruyne and Hazard.
And the funny thing is, I did this week. That's the funny thing. Yeah, I went from Alexis to De Bruyne.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, for me, and he's probably going to have my captain's band again this week. I'm probably going to stick with Alexis, especially because of how close they are now. If they win their game in hand, they are 1 point behind Liverpool. And all of a sudden, this Arsenal team that everybody was mocking weeks ago and was saying has no chance of getting Champions League, haha, you're in seventh, has a very real chance of getting into it. So of all these big teams with these massive players, like if Tottenham win at the weekend, oh, this is an interesting caveat that I didn't even write down. If Tottenham win at the weekend, they're in second, regardless of what happens. So will they relax? Will they play some players that are in the shop window? If City win, they lock in third. Does that lock them in? Of all these big clubs, of course, if Chelsea win, they win the title. Of all of these clubs, Arsenal are the ones that are pushing the most, that need to make up the most ground. So I also think Alexis is the most locked on to play both matches.
Yeah. I mean, I just worry about the game being, you know, basically two full days after they just played. That's the only thing I worry about.
But we have seen insane crap like that from Alexis where he got like hurt for Chile, and then like the next day was like back in training for them, and all the Arsenal fans were freaking out. I do understand what you're saying, but his turnaround time is bonkers.
Oh, I'm not doubting that he does play. I'm just
he might not be as effective just because he'll be on tired legs.
Yeah, I think that's why I went from Sanchez to De Bruyne. I was worried about the turnaround time that, you know, if you're investing in that kind of player, you're going to want both games guaranteed. I'm not saying De Bruyne is guaranteed either because you never know what could happen.
But. And De Bruyne is. Weirdly, De Bruyne has had a pretty crap year considering he's top of the assist table. But
yeah, and the funny thing is, the player that Kevin you mentioned before that we got burned last year at this time, you know, waiting to use our chips and everything. Yeah. De Bruyne was my triple captain in the last week, and he killed me.
Yep.
When it was Olivier Giroud,
it should have been Giroud. Was it a hat trick against Villa?
51 points.
Jeez. That is pretty much insane. But so, yeah, I have Sanchez and De Bruyne. You went with Hazard and De Bruyne is where we landed on that. As a Chelsea fan, how do you feel about that Hazard thing?
I'm nervous about it, but you know what? I've owned Hazard for like a while. So
how do you feel about Costa? Weirdly, nobody's really talking about Costa. Everybody's worried about Hazard, and I feel like that's because De Bruyne is the exact same price point. Well, but nobody's really talking about Costa up front.
Yeah, and the funny thing is Hazard should be – everybody should be more worried about Hazard because, you know, of the 33 starts he's made. Yeah, absolutely. Out of the 33 starts he made this year, he's been subbed out 22 times. Yeah. He's only gone past 70 minutes. I think it was 14 times. And he's immediately subbed out like before the 80th minute. Mm. So
is when you have Willian and Pedro on the bench.
Yeah, and Fabregas in most occasions.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
So, I mean, yeah.
Sorry, I hate to keep being my ADHD self here. But what about Fabregas?
We'll get into them when we do our start shits because I have some dynamite stuff for you.
Foreshadowing. Gotcha.
But
cool.
So why don't we take a break and then we'll come back with our start sits and maybe our teams.
Sounds like a plan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, and we are back to talk to you about our starts and sits. Full disclosure, I usually write my notes out like a script. Rob makes fun of me for that. I've not done that this week.
Loser!
well, I honestly think that might be one of the reasons why this particular episode has already been more conversational, as I'm less bullet pointing in my head. But it's also why I'm so scattershot right now. For my forward that I'm going to start this week, I think it's Harry Kane again. He has the second most shots on target over the last five matches, and the chances have been there for him. He's also had a lot of just normal shots that haven't been on target of late. I think those start going in. I mean, the form that Christian Eriksen is in right now is just absolutely bonkers. With what Eriksen has been doing, and with actually Ali was pretty disappointing against West Ham, but Eriksen had a pretty good match even in that loss. And I think the only person that clearly benefits from that is Kane. And I think there's another sneaky thing in here, which is Rose is finally back in full training. It happened. We did it, guys. We out here. Squad gang.
Rejoice.
Right. And I think that only that only helps this attack, where Ben Davis has clearly been struggling. If you could pick, kind of like you were giving me with those midfielders, if you could pick one double game week striker this week, who do you think is the best option?
One double week guy, Kane.
Yeah,
Kane and then Jesus.
Interesting. And then Costa or.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. Then in midfield, I mentioned that I like Eriksen a whole lot. I'm definitely on board with getting him, but I think the problem is a lot of people still have Ali, and it's not worth it to switch from one to the other. But we all mentioned bringing him in this week. I think it's Kevin De Bruyne. You just have to. With a goal and four assists in his last five, you just have to love what he's been doing lately. He seems to have much better matches when Jesus is playing up front. I'm not really sure why that is. And it'll be interesting next season to see if that bears out over a longer sample size. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned at the start of the season that De Bruyne and Aguero kind of seem to be getting in each other's way. Of course, City playing quote-unquote a 4-3-3. There's a lot of weird, minute tactical things that Pep's doing in there. But it feels like De Bruyne has been mitigated a bit. His ability has been limited because, remember last year, he was largely playing on the quote-unquote wing, but was able to constantly drift inside and everything. But this year, he's really playing closer to a central midfielder. And I think that's really hurt him at times this year. But for some reason, when Gabriel Jesus is in, it just kind of unlocks something for him. Obviously, Jesus is in line to get the start probably in both of these, we would assume. Although Ihe Nacho may just come and ruin everything. And Pep loves ruining everything for fantasy fans. But I think De Bruyne is obviously somebody that everybody should be trying to get into their teams this week. In defense, I put Otamendi. I think he's the only City player that absolutely plays in both of these matches. And the fact that it's against Leicester away and West... Sorry, they are at home versus Leicester and West Brom. I think that's the best double except for Chelsea. And as we mentioned, Chelsea may have a whole lot of rotational issues. So yeah, I really like Otamendi at the back. And as I mentioned, Danny Rose is a sneaky one, but they're probably going to rotate them anyway. So not really worth doing unless you're like in a draft format where somebody dropped him. Mm-hmm. In which case, be sure to go get him. But as we mentioned earlier, Vertonghen is the clear lock to hold on to a spot in both of those. Toby probably as well. But Vertonghen has been getting off a weird amount of shots on target lately. And the analyst in me just says, eventually that'll regress to the mean. Eventually, one of those will end up going into the back of the net. Whether it does or not, who knows? But you'd assume on average.
Yeah,
Who do you have for yours?
Well, I'll start in defense, and you mentioned Otamendi, and I will go Vincent Kompany. Vincent Kompany is a bonus darling. The bonus system loves him. His price just went up. He's at 6.0 currently. City plays a different kind of team balanced defense without him or with him in the lineup, and then there's no John Stones. Vincent Kompany, 6.0. Look at what he's done in the last three games when he's been there. City is a completely different team with him playing and his forehead. Through the midfield, you mentioned
him and Eric Dyer with those Cro-Magnon foreheads.
Yeah, he's got a five head. It's not even a forehead; it's a five head. Through the midfield, you mentioned Cesc Fabregas before, so I'm going to get into it here. Everybody's going to be crunched to get three Chelsea guys in. I'm not saying it's the best tactic because there are rotational questions, but there's rotational questions for a lot of teams: Southampton, Arsenal. Everybody probably has it. Everybody's going to do it. We just don't know who and what game, if it's going to be the first game or the second game. So we're waiting. But Cesc Fabregas, I went and did some research. His price is 6.9, ownership in 2.2% of league. Okay, Kev, you ready for this? In the 10 matches that he's had 70 plus minutes, he has 3 goals and 7 assists. What? 3 goals and 7 assists. In 10 matches, wow, that he's played 70 plus minutes. He has 3 goals and 7 assists.
That'll do.
Wow. He's a super effective, but the problem is it becomes a Chelsea crunch. I recommend still keeping a Chelsea defender. I know picking one is probably hard. I'm going to say Marcus Alonso because he's the best fantasy one there. Your trust in Eden Hazard or Diego Costa this week, I understand the waning. But, you know, I could see just being completely, you know, obtuse and going a different direction and punting Hazard and going to Fabregas. I'm not saying either any of these guys get both games, but you know, Fabregas for the money at 6.9 is giving you a good bang for his buck. And then forward, listen, everybody wants 2 10 dot whatever, you know, midfielders, whether it be De Bruyne, Hazard, Sanchez, you know, Ali is 9.0. Everybody wants and covets the high priced midfielders. There's only one way to do that, and that's to be cheap, especially at forward. So Victor Anichibi, I love you, I heart you, at 4.3. Sunderland has 2 fixtures. I know they're not the best fixtures. I know Sunderland has nothing truly really to play for, but I don't know why. I feel a Victor Anichibi something this week. I know he plays Swansea at home, and he plays Arsenal on the road, and then he played Chelsea on the road. You're probably not really counting on him in week 38, but for the double game week at 4.3, for someone who's been playing, you know, basically all the time over the last 5 weeks, I know he hasn't gotten anything besides a yellow card and minutes, but that's all I'm saying is you're basically trying to save money to buy someone else, and Victor Anichibi is that saving point.
So why you got love for Anichibi, but you got to hate my Vokes call though?
What do you mean? Because Anichibi plays 2 games.
Yeah, but they're not good.
Doesn't matter. Neither is Sam Vokes. He wouldn't be playing for Burnley if he was any good.
He is. Wait. Huh? What? Oh, I see what you're saying. No. Well, that's just rude.
Yeah, that's just rude. So
that's just like your opinion, man.
That's just like your opinion, and I'm not going to listen to it because I have my own opinion about things. So on to my sits. We mentioned him. We hate him, even though we kind of liked him over some of the other choices this week. But it's Manolo Gabbiadini. I don't trust Southampton offense. There's a reason they haven't scored in 3 weeks, and it's because they suck at putting the ball in the net and moving it forward. So we're going to continue with the Southampton love hate fest in a second because my midfielder sit of the week is Nathan Redmond at 5.9. Still owned in 7.6%.
How deeply perturbed are you that his price went up?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't understand what people – why. Oh, he's being subbed on. I trust him now then. No, stupid. He hasn't done anything all year. He is this year's Ross Barkley for me. Last year, Ross Barkley was, you know, just awful and the bane of my existence. Nathan Redmond this year, I was so heavily invested in him in multiple formats, and he just completely burned me. And Southampton is just doing nothing, even with their double game week, even with the enticingness of their fixtures. I don't buy it at 5.9. I get people why bringing him in. People are bringing him in because he has a name that people recognize. And they're like, wow, Nathan Redmond's 5.9. Okay, maybe I'll do that. No, you're being an idiot. Don't do it. on defense, Arsenal defenders. I don't trust it at all. I know really? They have two. Yeah, I don't know why. Call me crazy, call me stupid. I just can't lock in because I feel like there's going to be a bad rotational thing. There's probably only one guy that'll be nailed on the entire time, and I think it's Rob Holding.
Yeah, me too.
Everybody else, Bellerin showed his face today. Koscielny is eh. Gabriel, eh. Monreal, eh. You know, I wouldn't pay the money to have an Arsenal defender above 4.1, and that's what Rob Holding is. So, I mean, if you're going to invest cheap and do it with Rob Holding at 4.1. Mm. But I don't trust Arsenal defenders this week, even with a defender, a double game week. But whatever. You know, you kind of have to because you kind of got to go with the Lemmings and jump off the cliff with everybody else and follow your fantasy fate to the bottom of the ocean.
Tell me how you really feel. I will say, though, that they've played much better since moving to 3 at the back, even though it's been a stupid 3 at the back.
You know what? I had a car that was cool like that, but I can only fit 2 in the back because they were fat.
Fine. I'm sitting Lukaku up front. His being sold totally makes sense. No goals in the last 3 matches. Only 2 shots on target per match over that stretch. And so I totally get why people are shipping out. And with only the 2 matches left. For him, I get it. Through largely no fault of his own. Also, would not be stunned if he scores against Watford, by the way. But yeah, it's just doesn't seem to be happening for him at the moment. Everton can't really go either direction at this point. So they're just kind of in that weird purgatory where their season's basically over, but they still have to keep going out there. I will say, I'm curious to get your take on this as well in real football. It's starting to weirdly feel like Lukaku might actually be there next year. After like a month ago, nobody thought that. Where do you think he'll end up?
It really depends on if he lowers his demands and Everton kind of raises their money value. I think there's a comfortable meeting ground in between, and I think that's the only thing that's keeping it from happening. You know, he wanted I don't remember what it was. I know it was in the twos. And I think Everton came back with 140. So I mean, like there's meat on the bone there that they can meet in the middle and do something. Listen, Lukaku is still a young man. He still has tons of football to play ahead of him. You know, he's shown that he can do it in the top flight of English football, and he's going to continue to do it for at least the next couple of years. Does he deserve a raise? Absolutely. Does he deserve what he's probably asking for? No. Nobody deserves that. Look at what Ibrahimovic is making this year. He made $365,000 a week. That's crazy. It's a crazy amount of money.
It is. It's very, very much a lot of money. In the midfield, I'm benching Hazard. I do not think he plays both matches. And he's been... not lately. It was just really the last match that really turned me off him, but I've been burned by Hazard so many times before. Like, a lot of people have joked on Twitter with the picture of just Hazard fading away every time he's in somebody's team. But for his price point, 2 goals and 1 assist over 5 matches just isn't good enough for me.
Yeah.
And if he was definitely playing both, I would have held on to him. But I don't think he does. And you said even you may be surprised as well. Because you've got Willian right there. Like, it's not like... This is insane to say because of how good Eden Hazard is, but the drop off from Hazard to the replacements of either Willian or Pedro is not far.
Especially going against who they're playing. Look at their playing. You know, West Brom and Watford.
What would be crazy is if you somehow drew or lost to West Brom and the title race wasn't done.
Well,
a draw Spurs, does it, right?
No, I think does a draw do it? As long as Spurs draws. Well, that was the whole key because Leicester plays Spurs in the last week, and that's last year Chelsea tied Spurs to let win to or Leicester. No Spurs yeah whatever
Chelsea drew with Tottenham, which gave Leicester the title Leicester on the day they weren't even
yeah
playing.
That's it. So now Leicester's going to tie Spurs to give Chelsea the win regardless.
Well, that would just be very, very rude. Also, you should already have it wrapped up by next Thursday. If you win against West Brom, it's over. But anyway, so yeah, Hazard is a defender I'm definitely avoiding. Midfielder. for defenses that I don't really like this week. I don't know, man. That Bournemouth-Burnley match looks like an annoying 1-1. But like, I don't know.
Owning them, though. You shouldn't be owning.
That's true. So of just double game week teams, then, I actually like a lot of
Watford,
them.
Watford, West Brom.
Watford, yeah. Yeah, but... those are pretty blatantly obvious, and most people don't own them. Well, I guess people are still owning some West Brom defenders, I guess.
Sunderland.
If you're lazy, you still have like McCauley in there. Right, but my point is, you kind of to your point as well, you shouldn't be owning those people to begin
Spurs.
With.
Spurs. Who's going to own a Spurs defender?
I know. They're only the best defense in the league and have the most clean sheets, but aside from that...
What does that get you?
Second place.
All right, settle down there. All right, who are you... Oh, I guess we kind of both already talked about our teams. Well, what other moves are you looking at making this week? I've already gone through all of my permutations.
Yeah, I'm probably going to bring in Vincent Kompany, only because I'm stupid and a big dumb idiot. I'm also big bench boosting. I just did my wild card, and I'm going to take a minus only because I hate these dudes' faces on my team right now. They suck. I'm tired of looking at them.
tell me how you really feel.
My team's garbage. but yeah, so I'm probably going to do one more move. I don't know what it is. I may do two more moves. Who knows? I'm going to buy another wild card. I don't even.
Snap! You're crazy for this one, Jay. Hove.
Yeah. You're going to learn today. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, give me your top three captain's choices of the week. Not on your team, just in general.
Oh, well, I think I have all the players that I want on my team this week. Like I said, I might just leave it on Alexis, Stoke, and Sunderland. Mm-hmm. Man, neither of them can defend for crap. Obviously like that. Do not love the Kane against Manchester United matchup, which is why I'm not heavily leaning that way. Costa against West Brom and Watford, but you know, West Brom on their day can just be annoying as crap.
Annoying.
Yeah. So I think the three obvious ones this week are Sanchez, De Bruyne, and Costa. And I think currently I'm leaning Alexis.
Yeah, that's a good call. I've transferred out Sanchez for De Bruyne.
Any thoughts from you on captaining goalkeepers? I don't know if you saw three of the highest triple captains that were used
Fraser
this week.
Forster.
Was because Jack he saved Forster these... and De Gea.
Well, because he saved the penalty. So it's you know... I mean, if you're gonna captain a goalie, it's got to be Courtois. I mean, he has the best two matchups, I think. Mm. Right. Yeah. I mean,
Cech wouldn't be a bad shout again.
No, absolutely not.
Against Stoke and Sunderland.
But. So if you forget to do your roster and you had Cech last week and you do it this week, you're gonna be. What happened?
Great. How did I get all of these points?
Do I get a free concussion helmet too?
Maybe. Who knows? Who's to say? Yeah. Who's to say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I've been changed for good.
Oh, boo.
little bit of a Wicked reference in there. Don't worry about it. We're pretty cool over here. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No. If you're making a transfer, make sure it's a double game week guy. That's it.
Believe in yourself. Follow your dreams. Don't let your dreams be dreams, you know?
No. Dreams shouldn't be dreams.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
Not Annie Lennox. That's all I know.
fair enough. All right, Rob, why don't you tell the folks where they can get at you?
You can find me on that Twitter machine at Smokey_Loogie. You can find all my writings on Razzball. That's RazzBall.com. And you can find me on this podcast, and you can find me and Kevin on our DFS show on VIPBet.com. I don't know. I'm probably lurking somewhere around a sports bar or somewhere where they have a nice pint of Guinness.
Fair enough. Hand pumped, I assume. I am Kevin DeVries at KevRuff on Twitter. We obviously both host this show. We boast also, to be fair.
We boast a lot. We boast a lot.
Constantly. We're never not boasting. Always be boasting.
We're excessive boasters.
That's what I always say. So we're on this. We're on the VIP Bet show. I also write for Goal.com, so be sure to check all that stuff out. Also, always shout out to the Eagles Beak. Oh, I think we're also back on All in Sports Talk now. I don't know. That's confusing.
I know we've been on that for like the whole year, and I've every time I tune in there, I've never heard us.
Yeah. Well.
So.
Well, there you go. Maybe tune in and maybe hear us. If not, they have some other stuff, although I think it is all soccer now as well. Who knows? But anyway, thanks so much for listening. Go Penguins, hopefully. We'll see how this game goes. I fear it's not going to go well, having tossed away a 3-1 lead, and it is the sports year of getting losses after 3-1 leads in 7-game series. But good luck to you at the weekend. Good luck to the Penguins tonight, and we hope you keep listening.
Peace. We'll
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.